Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Professor H.J. McIndoe, who's had a very busy week in Ukraine conflict. We're watching five capitals, Moscow, Kyiv, Brussels, Beijing, and D.C. All the players are moving. There's diplomacy somewhere in this mix. But we begin with the hard news, this from the battle zone. Russian forces, writes the Telegraph of London, Russian forces probably spent 3 weeks withdrawing from Kherson, sneaking out of the city as part of a civilian evacuation, according to the UK Ministry of Defense. In its daily intelligence update, the ministry noted, quote, "The completion of the withdrawal came only 2 days after its announcement. It is likely that the withdrawal process had already started early as 22 October, when Russian-installed figures in Kherson urged civilians to leave the city." Professor, a very good evening to you. Your very careful analysis of the Russian battlefront these last weeks means that there was no surprise to this audience that Russia was abandoning what is now obviously its untenable position on the west bank of the Dnieper River. It has now withdrawn its forces, abandoning, I understand, an enormous amount of equipment on the west bank. It is now withdrawn to the east bank in what appears to be a line of defense to protect Crimea. So Moscow's point of view, retreating in front of all the world in its conflict with Ukraine. Good evening to you.
Good evening, sir. Well, this is a very, very major development. Kherson was, of course, the first city that the Russians took when in February of this year. And the way they got to it was by sending troops up from Ukraine across the land bridge and then turning left and going to Kherson, which is of tremendous importance. It's very well to the west along the finger of the Black Sea that almost completely separates Crimea from Ukraine. It's furthermore the place where one of the two major railway lines from Russia crosses into Crimea. It is the place. It is the place at which water is diverted into the water supply and irrigation system of Crimea, and it is a pivotal point in the whole question of the future of Crimea. And my expectation, what we have now, it's a little bit, it's not misleading when you say that they have withdrawn from the west bank to the east bank. That's true. But we have to remember that there are really two lines of water here. There's the north-south line of the Dnieper, and then there is the west-east line of the Black Sea, which forms the Gulf. And what we now have is a situation where the Ukrainians control the north bank of that Black Sea Gulf. And on the other side of it is Crimea. And they have a degree of control of it as far at least as the Kakhovka Dam. And the Kakhovka Dam is absolutely vital for infrastructure, for water, and all the rest. We know from, and this is actually now a fact in our program, we know for a fact from BBC and also, which I trust much more, overhead photographs from satellites, that the Kakhovka Bridge, which is the main way of getting from the northern Ukraine or from getting from Ukraine proper across this water into Crimea. That bridge has been blown, and the dam has been damaged, which means that the sluice gates have been hurt and the structure is damaged, although we don't know exactly how much. This means that water supply for Crimea is cut. It also means that water supply to cool the Zaporizhia reactor is also cut. So this is a very, very major step. And the Russians are, as you say, abandoning Kherson, moving to the east. But what exactly they're moving to is very hard to see, because there's nothing in the east worth their attention except the border, which will enable them to cross into Russia. Now, this success by the Ukrainians is the product of a long period, but what now happens is that the Ukrainians can move their artillery and their HIMARS and so forth forward, so that Crimea comes into range of their missiles and artillery attack, and they're probably going to keep pushing, and they'll get close enough that they can start shelling the Kerch Bridge, which is the chief, or it's already damaged, but it's the chief connection between a little sliver of Russia off to the west of Ukraine and Crimea itself. Now, to get an idea of just how near the Ukrainians are to Crimea, because they can turn around what the Russians did, instead of coming out of Ukraine and turning left and going to Kherson, they can come out of Kherson and turn right and go down into the Crimea. And if they do that, then basically they win the war. But I think it's unlikely that the Russians are going to retreat simply from Kherson to the exit, which would take them into the Crimea. The Crimea is a dead end. It's also in a terrible situation with floods that will follow the destruction of the dam. I think that they're heading as far east as they can go, and that if they have a plan for a follow-on, it is what we'll come to in a sec, namely negotiation. Now, the logical next step for Ukraine is to secure even more tightly this line they have, which goes sort of horizontally across Ukraine, about halfway across, just north of the waterway, or the water that separates Ukraine from Crimea. And then when they get to Armiansk, start going into Crimea, where it will be, I think, there's going to be shooting fish in a barrel, because the Russians are in a terrible situation there. I think they're very likely to be able to deoccupy, the Ukrainians will be able to deoccupy Crimea, and that's a defeat. Now, if that will be made even easier, now that the range of the Ukrainian artillery, the HIMARS and so forth, they can now hit Crimea, and they can also, I suspect, hit the Kerch Bridge to the east, which is the main artery of supply, even though it's badly damaged, for Crimea. And I think that if the Ukrainians take that out, then Crimea is just going to become a trap. And therefore, at a time like this, people start talking about negotiating, and one of our generals is talking about negotiating, and this sort of negotiation is in the air. But we have to remember that if we were to conclude a treaty based on dissecting Ukraine, or somehow dividing Ukraine between Russia and the Ukrainian government, leaving some sort of a mini Russia inside Ukraine, for which there's no historical or linguistic or cultural basis, but people are talking about doing it, we would be writing the kind of imposing the kind of terrible peace that leads to war. We'd be, in a sense, we'd be making once again the mistakes that we made with the Treaty of Versailles in the spring of 1918, which treaty was bitterly resented by the Germans. And if you want to trace the origins of Nazism and so forth in Germany, I think it goes back really to the blind intransigence of the French when it came to a realistic way of settling World War I. It could have been settled. What the Germans were looking for when they asked for a ceasefire was not a preparation for another war. They wanted to sort of liquidate the situation and come up with something better. So how do we avoid being trapped by negotiations now into simply setting the stage for another war?
I think we have to go to Kyiv for the answer. And there's been an election in America. It may influence the Kyiv decision in these coming weeks. Professor H.J. Mackinder, international relations, commenting on five capitals and Ukraine conflict. Next, the capital of Ukraine. This is Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it. Your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.